Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking again, Dr. Steve Wellum, about his Systematic Theology, Volume 1. We're working our way through it. Today we come finally to Chapter 11. We're approaching halfway through the book, Steve. We're moving right along. And we've been talking about God's revelation. We talked about natural revelation, special revelation. We talked then about Scripture as divine revelation, God's Word written. We've talked about the doctrine of inspiration, and we talked last time about the infallibility and inerrancy of Scripture, and now we come to the sufficiency and the clarity of Scripture. All right, two great big topics, and we'll take that probably just one today and then another next time as well. All right, let's take these one at a time. Sufficiency of Scripture. First of all, define our terms for us. What are we saying when we say Scripture is sufficient? And what are we not saying?
Yeah, I mean, both of these are crucial issues, and both of them is very important to see are Reformation characteristics of Scripture, right? So it's not that nobody in the church has held to the sufficiency and clarity of Scripture, but particularly in the Reformation, particularly with the Reformation debates, these became known as two attributes of Scripture, right? So what is the very nature of Scripture? And it's very, very important to say that. So sufficiency is tied to the text because it's ultimately given of God's. Clarity is tied to the text, the Bible itself, not the reader per se, but ultimately the text itself. And and of course, that's going to go over against the Roman Catholic notion that, well, the Scripture isn't enough, right? Sufficiency. So sufficiency, particularly, we pick up that notion is that Scripture is enough, right? Scripture is our final authority. It's enough. And then we have to define sufficiency carefully because it's enough in terms of its purpose, its domain, its what it's given to us. And it's enough in terms of leading us to the knowledge of God. Scripture is given to us. Think of 2 Timothy 3:15 and following and so on, that Scripture is God-breathed inspiration, and it's profitable for our doctrine, for our instruction, for our life. So Scripture is enough to know God. Scripture is enough to guide our lives. Scripture is enough for our doctrine and giving us instruction of how we ought to live. It's not saying that Scripture is a textbook on every matter, right? And sometimes it gets misunderstood that way. So if Scripture's enough, then I don't need to learn auto mechanics, or I don't need to learn things from natural revelation. I just need to appeal to Scripture. And some people have tried to push sufficiency in that direction, so that if I have a Christian view of economics, then I just go to the Bible. If I have a Christian view of astronomy, I just go to the Bible. And of course, we'll have to speak of the Bible speaks to those issues, but it doesn't do so sometimes exhaustively and certainly directly. Its main purpose and sufficiency then must be defined in terms of the knowledge of God, rightly being related to Him, the purpose of our salvation, our saving knowledge, that we have everything we need. We don't need to add to Scripture to rightly know God, to rightly be related to God, to have the promises of God, to live our Christian lives for now and then ultimately as we await eternity. So I give the sort of standard definition of it. I mean, in the history of the post-Reformation confessions, Westminster Confession, Second London Baptist Confession, and those are very similar in terms of their statements. I give that statement from the Second London Baptists, where sufficiency is tied to, you know, the Scripture is enough in terms of our knowledge of God's glory, man's salvation, faith and life. And this is either expressly set down or necessarily contained in Scripture. So we don't have to add to it. We don't have to have further revelation. We don't have to say that tradition is equal to it on these matters. So that's really what sufficiency is getting at. And then it has all kinds of practical implications for our church life today and our Christian lives.